Well, yes, let's, as Wilson said, let's have our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll maybe give a word of explanation more about that in just a minute. Pause here before the sermon. And again, welcome all of you. If any of you came in a tad late, good to see you this morning. Obviously, we mentioned that we're encouraging you to follow our lead as we look out for others during this season, as you noticed on the email. I also want to remind you of what I said at the beginning of the service, that next Sunday, members, if you'll put that down on your calendar, we'll gather for our service, of course, and then we'll, 10 minutes later, we will have a members' meeting to think about next year's budget and a few other things. Always so important, you know, that we don't treat those as mere business meetings, but as a brother told me recently, almost like a second worship service together. So, again, I want to remind you about Wednesday night. We'll be here. And Carmen, are we having a Wednesday? Is Praise Factory meeting after Thanksgiving 1 week? Or is that? Okay, so basically just to clarify, we have this week for Wednesday night gathering, which includes Praise Factory and teens and adults. We'll encourage maybe some of you adults who haven't been here. Come on this Wednesday night. Join us. Next week, we won't be here on Wednesday night. That's the day before Thanksgiving. So this week and then 2 weeks from now, and we follow that Praise Factory schedule, and so that's two opportunities remaining until we do have a more of a substantial break there. So we're so thankful for all those who are serving in those various ministries. Care groups are today or according to to what your care group leader said. And again, we also look forward to taking the Lord's Supper today. Well, let me pray for us again, as Pastor James has done, and let me also pray and ask for the Lord's blessing as we have our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 16. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us now? I certainly echo what Pastor James said. Lord, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, Lord, that if there's an unbeliever, unbelievers, Lord, open their hearts to the glory of Christ. Lord, energize us. Not like the Energizer Bunny, or not with the energy through personality, or the world may think of energy, but Lord, through your Holy Spirit, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the unction, Lord, through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the title this morning that I have for you, the title of the sermon is this: Let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. Let me also go ahead and say what I want to say to you this morning. What I want to say is this: be watchful, stand firm, act like men. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16, as we're still praising the Lord for 10 years as a church, we're not making too big of a deal about that, not focusing on it too much, but this sermon, still in light of that. By the way, COVID, the lockdown, cut me off from this last part of 1 Corinthians. And it's our pattern, as you know, it's our habit to pretty much every Sunday to take a section of Scripture, a small section of Scripture. Sometimes we take one or two verses. Sometimes we do that, and that's profitable. But more often than not, we take a section of God's Word and the table, the plate that's been laid for us today, not by me, but ultimately by God through His Word. The chapter that we have is 1 Corinthians 16. Let all that you do be done in love. Now let me read this chapter. Part of it's been read for us, but let me pick up back again in verse 1. Look at this with me. Look at God's Word, 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. It's the Word of God, and then Paul is the human author. Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do." You might just take note as I read of the commands here that are sprinkled throughout here. So you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Let me make an observation as we're reading this chapter here. First observation, very quickly, quick observations, the end of verse 7. Even apostles live their lives according to this truth if it's the Lord's will, if God permits. I'll travel and I'll do this on my itinerary, even apostles, if the Lord permits. And then did you notice verse 8? Do you notice how contrary Paul's thinking is to what we would consider to be normal thinking? Oh, there's adversaries there? There's enemies? I've got enemies in that place? Let me get out of there as quick as I can. That's not good. That's not going to be productive to my fruitfulness in this particular place that there's enemies there. No, what does he say, actually? He says, I'm going to stay in Ephesus until Pentecost for a wide door. Probably he's having evangelistic fruit. His ministry is bearing fruit, and there are many adversaries. Did you notice that? There's opposition. I want to stay longer. Verse 10. When Timothy comes, see that you put him at ease among you, for he is doing the work of the Lord as I am. So let no one despise him. Help him on his way in peace, that he may return to me, for I am expecting him with the brothers. Notice verse 12. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with the other brothers, but it was not at all his will to come now. He will come when he has opportunity. This may sound familiar. Verse 13, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. What? Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Have you noticed, verses 13 and 14, another little quick comment here. Verses 13 and 14 go together, but aren't they kind of weird bedfellows? Verse 13 and verse 14, they clearly are meant to be together, but aren't they a little opposite? Wouldn't the emphasis on one be rough and the other be tender? Well, we'll see. Verse 15. Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence. There's, forget the baby book names, just there's three names for you. Verse 18, for they refresh my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. Quick observation on 15 through 18. We live in a society that rejects any type of hierarchy at all, even when it's God-ordained and good. Paul not only says here, give recognition to such people, he says in verse 16, be subject to such as these. We've thrown off all of these shackles, so-called shackles. But he's not saying be subject to overlords. He talks about be subject to those who are serving. Be subject to those who are laying down their lives. Give them honor. Give recognition. You know who those people are here, even among us, in many ways. Verse 19, the churches of Asia send you greetings. So good just to read a chapter together like this. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Scholars tell us Paul wrote that particular command. If you've been keeping track with the commands, there's already been many of them that he's given to them. This one was during a time of COVID. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Verse 21, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. So he's, as was his custom, he often dictated his letters to a scribe, to a secretary. But sometimes, for different reasons, he would say, give me the pen, man, or whoever it was. Give me the pen. I want to make an emphasis here. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Maybe it's because he's what he's about to say in verse 22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let that man be damned. Let him be accursed. Wow. Wow. Our Lord, come. And I'll make another comment or two because we probably won't get here. Our Lord, come. You know that word, perhaps? Maranatha. It's a prayer to the Lord Jesus. It speaks of the divinity of Christ. The divinity of Christ. Because it's a direct prayer, which is normally only done to God. Come, Lord Jesus. 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Grace of the Lord Jesus. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 24. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, beloved, dear friends, let all that you do be done in love. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but the story of Charles Spurgeon, who shared some counsel, and not just counsel, but specifically shared some encouragement with somebody who was having a rough go at it with a particular person in the church. So Spurgeon's giving encouragement to somebody who's having difficulty with a particular member of the church. Spurgeon simply writes this to give him encouragement. Bear, bear, bear. Forbear, forbear, forbear. Fight, or in yielding is victory. In yielding is victory. Fight the devil, but love that brother. Love him till he is lovable. Now, this particular true story from Spurgeon actually happened to be the particular man who was troublesome to this other brother was actually a deacon in the church. I want to encourage you to bear with Eddie. Bear with him. But he wrote to this man and said, you are having trouble with this deacon in your church. Love him till he is lovable. And that is what we see. That is the theme. That is the title. Let all that you do be done in love. Crossway, 10th anniversary. The first thing as we're taking some points this morning, the first thing that we see is this. As we look at this passage in a little bit more detail, is to consider Sunday. To consider Sunday. Look here with me at verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, under the heading, Consider Sunday. Now, originally I was going to make this heading, and it was going to be Consider the Collection. Speaking about, you know, like we think of the offering. Taking the offering, consider the collection, or I was going to say, consider new covenant giving. But no, consider Sunday. Look at it again, verse 1 of chapter 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. Number one, consider Sunday. This passage here does instruct us about giving our money today. People often go to this when they're speaking about tithing or giving money in the church today. It does have instruction for us. Paul is not here describing a settled local church giving to the offering in exactly the same way that we may think of it. Again, as I said, as tithing. No, instead, what he's doing in verses 1 through 4 of 1 Corinthians 16, he's speaking more maybe about a special offering. He does this in other places in the New Testament. He's concerned for the poor. And he's especially concerned that we give our attention first and foremost to the household of believers. It's great to be concerned about the poor in the world. That's good and worthy. If it's ever to the neglect of the needy among God's people, we've started off in the wrong place. And so he's especially concerned in this particular instance that we see in other places. He's concerned for the poor saints in Jerusalem, the mothership, the mother church. And these Gentiles, which again, you know, non-Jews, they are in debt to the church at Jerusalem. So a Gentile church, the Corinthians were a Gentile church. And Paul's encouraging them, I'm giving you the same instructions I gave to the church in Galatia. Here's what I want you to do. And so he is talking about giving. There are things that we can learn here about our giving of our finances today in the local church. Yes. Yes. But as I said, just to be clear about the context, he's talking about a kind of a special offering. And I would say actually one of the things that we want to see here mainly is to consider Sunday. To consider Sunday. You see, this passage gives us clear hints, verses 1 through 4. It gives a clear hint that one of the number one things we can learn about giving is that giving is in tandem with the gathering. We don't want to press this too far. He's not making a direct statement here. But our giving, he says, you're giving, I want you to, and he's not saying, set it aside privately as you may prosper. He's saying, set it aside. Give it on the first day of the week. What's the significance? The significance is that they were gathering together, just like we do, on the first day of the week. So that's the language that he uses there. He's not talking about Sunday, but it's consider Sunday. Why Sunday? You know why Sunday, right? Because the first day of the week is the day that our Lord Jesus Christ was powerfully raised from the grave. And so in light of the resurrection of Christ, which brings about our justification, therefore they gathered on Sunday, nothing overly formal, and as part of their gathering, on the first day of the week, they gave. They gave. So consider Sunday, number one. Now before I move on a little bit more, deeper into chapter 16, let me pause and let's pull up for just a minute. And I want to look for just a minute at the very end of chapter 15. Look at chapter 15 and I'll try to show you how all this goes together. Chapter 15, verse 58. Look at this. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing, that's key right there, why I emphasized it, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Do you know, my brother and sister, are you assured? Do you have full confidence that as a believer in the Lord, your labor is not in vain? He not only says to us this morning, your labor not, and that's my second point, by the way, Crossway, your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Let this kind of be a banner over anything else that I say this morning. You remember, right? There's no chapter divisions in the original. Chapter divisions are great, but there's no original chapter divisions. So you have verse 58, Crossway, your labor in the Lord is never in vain. And then let me give you an example of that. Your giving. See, he goes on to all these examples we could say. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain. This is a worthy reminder 10 years in. It's a worthy reminder 10 years in, as long as it meets the condition And the condition is in the Lord. If you're a believer, if you have been purchased by the blood of Christ through the grace of God, then you can know and you should know. You need to, as he says here, know, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I'll say it again as a broken record. Your labor in the Lord is never in vain, members of Crossway Church. Please hear me. Please take the encouragement that I'm giving you. It's not my encouragement. It's from the Lord. This is the scripture is the word of Christ. This is from Paul, but it's the word. Hear the encouragement of the Lord Jesus to you, my brother and sister, this morning. Your labor in him is never in vain. Receive this. Treat it as a big gulp at the local gas station. You go into the local gas station and there's a huge row of fountain drinks. And you have many sizes of cups to choose from. And the biggest one is only 79 cents. And what's in your cup this morning is this. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So stick the straw in and drink it. And receive the promise of the Lord. And not just the end of verse 58, but in verse 58 he says, therefore, what? Look at it. Therefore, my brothers, my beloved brothers, you are loved by God. You are loved by God through Jesus Christ. There's nothing else more that you need. There's nothing better than that in the world. You're loved by God. So be steadfast. Be immovable. Why? Why? Why is your labor in the Lord never in vain? Because of the resurrection. Because of the resurrection. Because we have the hope of a resurrection body. We have a real hope. You have a real hope in Christ Jesus because he's the first fruits. He's the first fruits who has been raised from the dead. And we too, like him, have hope of the resurrection. You see how the resurrection plays in all of this. 16, 1 through 4, he's talking about giving. But really, he's talking about Sunday. He's talking about Sunday because Jesus rose on that day. And back in verse 58, he says, just know that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. On what basis? On the basis of the resurrection. On the basis of the resurrection. We could linger here in verse 58. We could linger and notice the tie between this verse and Psalm 90. Moses prays, establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We could talk about how he says we should be abounding in the work of the Lord. But I would just encourage you again. No, not ever. Your labor in the Lord in vain. I have three things. We've looked at two. The first was consider Sunday, verses 1 through 4. The second was, as we've just noticed, consider that your labor in the Lord, Crossway members, listen to me, is never in vain. And again, consider the resurrection. Number two, consider that your labor in the Lord is never in vain. But before we leave verses 1 through 4 too quickly, notice again what it says. I said it's about Sunday, but it's also about giving. Let me encourage you, maybe practically a little bit about giving. This is a giving church. One of my former teachers, Tom Schreiner, so helpfully puts it this way. Would you listen to what he says about verses 1 through 4 and how it relates to our giving today? He says, giving to those in need was a great concern of Paul's, and helping the poor, especially fellow believers, was one of the marks of the early church. Paul teaches that giving, and here he gives three little things. Giving should be systematic on the first day of the week, organized, the church takes the collection, and proportional as you have prospered. I personally do see a difference in Old Covenant tithing and New Covenant giving, in one sense, how much greater in light of the cross and the resurrection, in light of the gospel, in light of the mystery that has been revealed, a generous New Covenant giving. Again, he says it should be, just to repeat those, that giving today should be systematic, it should be organized, it should be proportional, as you have prospered. Also, the funds must be handled by people of integrity, so there's no room for charges of corruption or theft. Find those things helpful. The third and point that I have for you this morning is this. Come a little bit full circle. Let all that you do be done in love. Let all that you do be done in love. You see that in verse 14. Look there with me. In verse 14, he says, let all that you do be done in love. You know, I think you can kind of tie that back. I mentioned earlier, there's no chapter divisions, right? 14, let all that you do be done in love, right? We've got that, said it 10 times, I know. And then what does 58 say? Right before our chapter today, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. So what can we say? We can say that any work of love that you do today in 2020, as a believer in Jesus Christ, any work of love that you do in the Lord will matter for eternity. Any work of love that you do in the Lord, in union with Christ, through faith in Christ, will have eternal consequence. And so we bring these two together. Your labor's never in vain. Whatever you do, do it all in love. Without love, we're nothing. Let all that you do be done in love. And as I said earlier, as I mentioned, verses 13 and 14 go together. I also think, as you look at verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13, what does it say? Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Isn't that also similar to 58? Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The need of the hour is for that we would be a congregation filled with the Holy Spirit, abounding in the work of the Lord, overflowing, doing all kinds of works of love, convinced that they are of eternal moment. These two verses go together, 13 and 14. One of them looks like a very military verse. It looks like be tough. Be strong, like Joshua. Like the word to the soldiers in the Old Testament, like those who were going to conquer the promised land. And then it seems like, how does it go together with verse 14? Verse 14 is tender. Let all that you do be done in love. Well, of course, you know that has to do with our misunderstanding of love in many ways. Love is not sappy. Love is not mere emotionalism. These two things go together. Now, you may have noticed something interesting there in this burst of commands in verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. A.W. Tozer, you know that name, A.W. Tozer? He said this. He said, the most critical need of the church at this moment is men, bold men. Free men. The church must seek in prayer and much humility the coming again of men made of the stuff of which prophets and martyrs are made. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Let me read the first part again. The most critical need of the church at this moment is men, bold men, free men, and the church must seek that in prayer. Again, I direct your attention to verse 13. Look at it again. 16, 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. But who's this letter directed to? Well, it's directed to the church, right? Are you with me? You guys with me? You sleepy this morning? It's directed to the church. So clearly, Paul's not writing 1 Corinthians just to men. Listen to what Wilson says. He says this, does this include women? Verse 13, of course it does. Just a few verses down, Paul says that Aquila and Priscilla send their salutation along with the church that meets in their house. Women are clearly included in all of this. But this does not prevent Paul from using the terminology of brethren or brothers. He beseeches the brethren in verse 15, and all the brothers with him send their regards to Corinth, which of course also includes women. Many Christian men today think that we really ought to be more sensitive and that we really ought to strive to be more inclusive. But the point that he's making is that the Bible is already inclusive, is that when God gives the church godly, strong, free men, then by definition, women will be included in precisely the same in the way that they should be included. Not if we are on a route to just merely be more sensitive or more inclusive. Some men, Doug Wilson says, are refusing to play the man because whenever men play the man, they always include the women. He says here, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. If you have the toughness of verse 13 and you don't have verse 14, it matters a hill, not a hill of beans. And if you have an anemic love in verse 14 that's sappy, a love that doesn't involve discipline, you don't have biblical love. Love without discipline is not biblical. Toughness, strength, standing firm without love can turn into just sheer unbiblical as well. So he says, let all that you do be done in love. Any and every work of love that you do in the Lord will matter for all of eternity. Every word of God proves true. You know, we talked a little bit about giving, and I'll close with this. As I think about Pastor Ray here, just through various conversations, I know that he has a personal testimony and loves to speak about God's work in his life and what should be for all the saints in terms of giving. In 1854, boys and girls, a famous man, you should know his name, Sam Houston, came to faith in Christ and was baptized. Afterward, he pledged to pay half the salary of the local pastor. 1854, Sam Houston, soldier, political dude, comes to faith, was baptized. He said, I'm going to pay half the salary. The local church pastor, when someone asked him why, he replied, my pocketbook was baptized too. So the question is, have you been baptized? And not merely, that's although it's a good question, it's a worthy question, not merely have you been baptized as a believer by immersion going under, that's a good question and a worthy question, but have you been baptized in that fullest sense? And the question is not only have you been baptized, but do you know the grace of God? Do you know that which baptism represents? Do you know that which the Lord's Supper represents, which is the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Because the grace of God in Jesus Christ will leave no part of a man's life untouched. No part. So we come to the table this morning. Again, not emphasizing baptism so much in and of itself, but two ordinances that the Lord has given us. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Let me pray and then I'll lead us in that. Let's pray together. Father, help us in your word. Whether we say, help us particularly here at the 10th anniversary and help us with the next 10 years, whether we emphasize that or whether we just say, I'm so burdened today, and so my thoughts seem to so easily go elsewhere. Lord, we come to you for grace. We thank you for the Lord's Supper. We thank you for your word, the word of the gospel. We thank you for the love of Christ. Lord, help us. We know that we don't receive grace automatically at the Lord's Supper, as though just merely eating and drinking of the juice puts grace into our bodies, but Lord, it is a means of grace, and we thank you. So help us to come back to the cross. Help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we take the Lord's Supper, you may or may not still have